There has been a plan. It's 5,000 years old. It is a plan to create a world government, a world religion, a world leader. And this was the plan of the ancient mystery religions. And, of course, the other thing about the ancient mystery religions is you could learn how to tap into the other dimension and get tremendous knowledge and power and rewards for giving yourself over to the other side. Because there is another dimension, and the secret of Rosicrucianism and of Gnosticism and the Kabbalah and of the Templars and, yes, even of the modern-day mystics is you can contact the other dimension. But, of course, the average Mason has no idea what this is all about. The Mason, of course, honestly believes that he's just part of a fraternity that's made up of men who want to have a good time and do good. But they do not understand that Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity, an outer fraternity of men involved in public service, but an inner fraternity of men who are studying the Arcanum and the Ancanorum, and of course that means the secret and the secret of secrets, or as I refer to, the forbidden secret. And our guest this evening is a good friend and really one of the most knowledgeable people in the country on Masonry, Ralph Everson. Hi, Ralph. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan. How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Well, look, why didn't you... Now, you actually were on, was it the Discovery Channel or the History Channel?
On the History Channel, yes.
Tell us a little bit about what happened when you were invited to go on there and appear. What were you talking about, Masonry?
Well, it was talking about the Great Seal of the United States on the back of our dollar bill, and it was the program was called The Symbols of the Dollar Bill, and, of course, I was invited to give the other side. They had the official government position and the Masonic position, and I was to present the truth. So I presented the truth that those things are all Masonic. The Masons were denying it, but I was there to expose the symbols as being Masonic. Our founding fathers were in the main Masons, and they were the ones that created the Great Seal of the United States in 1782.
All right, fine. And so, who did they have from the Masonic side, do you recall?
No, it was a 33rd degree Mason.
And he denied that the emblem on the back of the dollar bill is Masonic?
Yes, he did not say that. He would not say that, no.
Well, what would he say about the emblem on the dollar bill?
He doesn't have an explanation. It's just that the eye is the eye of the providence, and the Annuit Septus means he has looked with favor upon our undertakings, and the new Novus Ordo Seclorum means new order of the ages, and that's the official position as well as the position of the Masons, and it's simply not true.
Well, but certainly that isn't that what those phrases mean? I mean, they certainly deny it's Masonic. It's not being forthright because most Masonic writings until recently always lay claim to that emblem on the back of the dollar bill as being Masonic.
Well, yeah, they might claim it's Masonic, but they don't believe that it says what I believe it says, and that is that this nation was committed to the New World Order by our founding fathers, and the New World Order is a new civilization around a worship of Lucifer, Satan, the devil.
Right.
That's what it means, and that's what the Novus Ordo Seclorum in the bottom means, new order of the world, new world order.
No, but the Mason is never going to admit publicly that they worship Lucifer. I mean, that would be really be too far out, even though that there is a small inner core that understands. And basically, that is because this is Gnosticism, modern-day Gnosticism, and the Gnostics did believe in another God, and they believed that their God was superior to the God we worshipped. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, that's true. The Masons have a square in the compass, and oftentimes you'll see that the two symbols, when one's on top of the other, has a space in the center, and that space is occupied by the letter G. And they'll tell you it stands for God or geometry or government or goodness or whatever, but it doesn't. It stands for Gnosis, and as you just pointed out, Gnosis is wisdom. They worship reason, man's mind. They want to be free to make their own decisions in all areas, which means They believe that morality is wrong. No man, no government has the right to tell you what you can believe or think. They want complete liberty. That's the difference between the word liberty and the word freedom. Freedom means acting responsibly. Liberty means acting irresponsibly if you choose.
And of course, this whole thing really, at least in my studying and reading Albert Pike, that goes back in many ways to Gnosticism. Of course, I think it was back a lot further than that. But at least Albert Pike acknowledges that Masonry is the modern-day manifestation of the ancient mystery religions, and certainly one of those in about the first and second century here was Gnosticism. And the average American has no idea even what Gnosticism is, much less what Masonry is.
That's correct. It might be interesting to mention briefly the 33rd degree northern latitude, because that has a bearing on the ancient mystery religion that you're referring to. The equator is zero, and it runs, of course, around the midsection of the Earth. And then as you go north, you have other latitudes until you, from zero up to 90, and then on the way south, you have zero to 90 as well. So the 33rd degree is the 33rd round circle above the equator. Of course, it's all arbitrary, but not arbitrary. I mean, it's not official. There's no line except drawn by man. But the 33rd degree northern latitude plays a significant role in the Masonic literature. That's where they, in Charleston, South Carolina, where it goes over, that's where the Masons formed their first 33rd degree council. And as an aside, the next thing that might be of some interest is that it goes directly over Hope, Arkansas, where Bill Clinton was born. And I think when Bill Clinton found out how significant it is, I believe that Bill Clinton believed that he was meant to become president, because only a few people have ever been born underneath the 33rd degree that had the political ambition like Bill did. So I think Bill felt he was meant to be president because he was born under the 33rd degree northern latitude. It goes over Dallas, where the Masons were directly involved with the assassination of John Kennedy on November the 22nd, November the 11th month, plus 22, the number of days is 33. Then it goes over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where we dropped our first atomic bombs when Japan was trying to surrender. And the man who dropped those bombs was Harry Truman. He was the 33rd president of the United States. And after he dropped those two bombs on Christians, Hiroshima and Nagasaki had the highest concentration of Christians in Japan. He was elevated to the 33rd degree. But the last one that's important is that the 33rd degree northern latitude goes right over Babylon, the home of the ancient mystery religion. And that's why the Masons draw the line and plan events and circumstances underneath that line.
Well, that's a very interesting conjecture. Is that written up any place, or is that more or less your interpretation?
Of what?
All the things there, you know.
Oh, no. Well, it's a matter of history. You know, you could argue that the first time I found it was in the Masonic literature, where they talked about where they created their first 33rd degree northern, southern jurisdiction 33rd degree temple in Charleston, South Carolina. And by the way, that's where the first battle of the Civil War was fought, when the southern troops fired on Fort Sumter in the port of Charleston, South Carolina. Isn't that an interesting coincidence? And then, of course, it goes over Dallas, and there's no question that the Dealey Plaza has an obelisk there. It's a favorite symbol of the Masons. The obelisk has 12 blocks on it, and then on top is the flame. The 13th would be the flame or the light or the torch. John Kennedy, when he was drove by within about 15 feet of that obelisk, and then you turned the corner and went down the street, and he was shot in Dealey. At the base of that obelisk is a plaque commemorating Dealey Plaza as the site of the first fraternal lodge in Texas. And when they say fraternal, they mean Masons, is my opinion. The state flag was designed by a Mason. All of the men who fought at the Alamo on the side of the United States, or in Texas, if you will, were all Masons. 130 some of them. They all died. Houston and Austin were both Masons, and then, of course, they named their cities after them. So and then it goes over, did November 22nd was by coincidence. The 11th month was the 22nd day for 33. And then over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I've got articles in my files showing that even the Associated Press admitted that Nagasaki had the highest concentration of Christians in it. And then it goes over Babylon. That's a matter of just documentation. You can prove that with a straight line. It goes over Babylon.
Well, it's a fascinating amount of information there. And certainly, these people many times do put a lot of credence in certainly these universalities. And certainly, they really believe in numerology. They believe in astrology. They believe that there is another God. This is the incredible thing. And the fact that the average Mason has no idea what the real, certainly religious implications of so much of Masonry, and the historical implications, and the relationship between modern-day Masonry and the ancient mystery religions. That, of course, is the key. And this is, of course, one of the things that I know Ralph has looked into. We've certainly tried to bring this out, and it's brought out in a number of things today. It's interesting. Now the other side tried to say, oh, there's nothing to worry about, nothing to worry about for mystery religions. Well, anyway, because we started out talking about when Ralph was on the History Club channel, and they were talking about the background of the Great Seal of the United States. And, of course, the Masons certainly are trying to play down the Masonic influence, in the Great Seal, and yet historically we know that they played a very important part, not only in designing the Great Seal, but in designing the architecture of our nation's capital. And, of course, that architecture reflects the secret destiny of America, because America was to lead the whole world into a world government. I think that's so important, and that's exactly what is going on today. America has an empire. We certainly have our troops stationed all throughout the world. We are the mightiest nation in the world, and the major thrust of American policy is the United Nations globalism bringing about a world government. Would you agree with that, Ralph?
Yeah, I do indeed, Dr. Stan. That's where we're going. That's what the new world... Well, it's more than just a world government. It's a complete new civilization. There'll be no more private property, no more family, no more freedom, no more worship, no more houses, no more grandma and grandpa, no more aunts and uncles. You say, that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. That's what they want. It's in their own literature. I remember reading Marx's Communist Manifesto way back in probably the 70s, and I couldn't understand, why would he attack the family? Why would he attack private property? Why would he attack nationalism, worship, religion? And suddenly it dawned on me, that's where we're going. That's what they want. They want to abolish private property, family, religion, etc. And that's what it is, that the new civilization, the new world order, is exactly that. It's going to change all those things.
And, of course, the thing is that, first of all, they have to have complete control of the United States. And, of course, the one enemy here that really stands in the way of their having complete control was Christianity. And that is why they set out to destroy Christianity and to infiltrate the Christian church, to undermine the basic tenets of the Christian church. And I really personally believe that George Bush was certainly put in the presidency to discredit Christianity. And certainly the tragedy is, I think he's done a very, very good job. As people see what's happening in the Near East and the Middle East, as the people read about Abu Ghraib, as the people read about torture and certainly kidnapping people all over the world and torturing them and then denying that they're torturing them, and people say, if that's Christianity, I shouldn't want anything to do with it. And I think that what really disturbs me, and you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to keep saying it until we get some sort of response from the leaders of the Christian church in America. The Christian leaders are not speaking out against torture, and how you can, under any circumstances, certainly excuse torture under the name, well, Saddam Hussein was a terrible guy, or look what Al-Qaeda is doing. We're not Al-Qaeda. We're not led by Saddam Hussein. We're Americans, and we should never tolerate things that dishonor us. I think one of the great tragedies of today is that there are about 2 million Masons in America, and I dare say that 95% of them have no idea what Masonry is really all about. How do you feel about that statement?
That's very correct, Dr. Stan. In fact, many people claim that, including the Masons, claim that it's a Christian, I won't say religion, but a Christian-based organization, and I can prove that very simply is not true. I want to read, just from memory, a quote. I think it's in Magnum Opus. Or it's in Legenda. Albert Pike says, to believe that the universe was created out of nothing is to believe a monstrous absurdity. So the universe has always been here. There was no beginning, no creation. That's what Albert Pike said. Now, the Bible teaches, in the first 10 words of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there was a beginning, there was a creation. Now, further in the Bible, it teaches that it was Jesus, that part of the Trinity, that created the universe. So you can see that they're out to destroy Christianity. Then in Magnum Opus, you can read, or Legenda, whatever book, I've got, it's in my book, I've forgotten right now which book it was in. But Albert Pike wrote that in the 30th degree, you can learn, quote, the true purpose, end quote, of Masonry. So I went to the 30th degree ritual in Magnum Opus. You can read it. Anyone can read it. It's available. And in there, the Mason takes a sword in his hand and vows to destroy Christianity, period. That's it. So that means that is the true purpose of Masonry. Now, as you pointed out a few minutes ago, Dr. Stan, that's got to be concealed. Why? Because the most, if, I don't know what percentage of the Masons are Christians, but if there's a Christian who's in there thinking it's a Christian organization and he takes a sword to destroy Christianity, he's going to quit.
And
he's not going to stick around.
Do they actually say you're going to destroy Christianity?
No, that's what I'm saying. They can't say it directly, but it's very clear that's what they mean.
Well, what do they actually say?
They show three, well, first of all, they're opposed all the way through from about the fourth degree on. They talk about the destructive forces of tyranny, which is power over the individual. They don't want any controls over the individual. As I pointed out, they want true liberty. Liberty is defined as unrestricted action. You are free to do whatever you want to do. Freedom means acting responsibly. The old canard which says, your right to swing your arm ends with my nose. Well, that's freedom. It's not liberty. Liberty means your right to swing your arm is unlimited.
In other words, you can hit my nose if you want to. Hey, hold on. Let me get a caller from Nevada. Let's go to Leto. Hi, Leto. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good, sir.
Have a question for our guest or a comment?
I was listening to your comment on Christianity.
Right.
And it's true. What this man says is true. They're out to destroy it. And I'm a Catholic, and they have certainly done quite a job through Vatican II.
They certainly did, right? Didn't they? I shouldn't laugh because, of course, we got problems in the Protestant Church, too. But
yeah.
It's really tragic what they've done to the Catholic Church. They've infiltrated it. They've infiltrated the seminars. They've encouraged homosexuality and pedophilia. And you know, it must be terribly disconcerting to be a Catholic and see these things happening to a church that you love and respect and use as the foundation of your faith.
Well, absolutely true. And as a matter of fact, you know, there is evidence. I mean, one of my dear friends is a Father DeLallo, who did a study on this, whose apartments in London were broken into in the course of his study when tying all this in with the very people we're talking about. Okay, and mesas and so on. And, you know, it's interesting and maybe providential that I just finished Edmund Burke's Reflection on the French Revolution.
Yes, that's a great work.
And here's what he has to say about what these people are doing with regard to Christianity. And it's, he says this. It says, the literary cabal had some years ago formed something like a regular plan for the destruction of the Christian religion. The object they pursued with a degree of zeal which hitherto had been discovered only in the propagators of some system of piety, they were possessed with a spirit of proselytism in the most fanatical degree, unquote. And these people basically are after, and let me tell you, they're after the complete elimination of Christianity from the hearts, minds, history, and complete and culture of all humanity.
Well, I think that, Ralph, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's what their, in fact, as I said, that's their true purpose. And
yeah.
Let me show you how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dole ran for the presidency against Bill Clinton, I think it was, in 1992,
mm-hmm.
and millions of Christians voted for Bob Dole because they thought he was a Christian.
Yeah.
Bob Dole is a 33rd degree Mason.
Yeah.
I've got that documented in their own literature. I don't make these statements up without documentation. So we know that he's a 33rd.
Mm-hmm.
That means that Bob Dole took a vow to destroy Christianity, and millions of Christians voted for him. And I want to know why.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. This has been written about extensively, and not by conspiracy nuts, as we're called, or people are called these days, but by people of respectable letters. For instance, there was a Frenchman, not just Edmund Burke here. And nobody can argue his credentials. He discovered this cabal. He discovered this motivation within this group of people long ago. And also, there's a Frenchman by the name of DuPontcy that everybody ought to read, ought to at least try to find his books on this subject. He goes into a great deal of detail on the ethnic relationships of these cabals, okay, and also and the ethnic relationship of Freemasonry, the various nation states that were involved in fighting this thing, and the literature that was produced around, well, for instance, Romania.
Hold that thought right there.
Yeah.
Well, this is Arthur Stan and Sydney. We have a young man named Leno calling from Nevada, who is very, very concerned about what's happening, you know, as far as the attack on Christianity. And he feels that there is a conscious effort to destroy Christianity, and there is. What's happening to the Christian church is not accidental. It is intentional. It is planned. And behind that, at the first tier, we have a number of secret societies. We have organizations like Sydney, like the Masons, like the Rosicrucians, like the Theosophists, and certainly the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and all of these are anti-Christian organizations, the Trilateral Commission. But what everybody has missed is behind those organizations are powerful spiritual and supernatural organizations and forces that are intent upon destroying Christianity. And they do have their organizations in our society, organizations like the Lucius Trust, the New Group of World Servers. And these organizations are openly in contact and admittedly in contact with the beings from the other dimension and with the spiritual hierarchy that rules the world. This is what has really been missed by so many of these discussions. But go ahead, Leno. We'll let you wrap up what you wanted to say.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things that so many in this country and elsewhere are put off by is the idea that because one discovers a conspiracy, They are the label that goes along with that discovery is such that the lives of those who do the discovery are destroyed by an accusation of being nuts, okay? And the thing is that I've told you briefly what happened to my friend, a priest, Father DeLallo, his apartment's being broken into when he got too close, began to publish, he was intimidated into not publishing anymore, that sort of thing. And let me tell you something else. Who is going to accuse a pope or a series of popes of being conspiracy nuts when, for the first time we have, in the middle of the 17th century, Pope Clement XII publishing the nuisance that these people were making within the societies that this pope was governing in Europe at the time. He basically described these societies, what they were doing, and the complaints against these societies through their secretiveness and so on, which were basically, at the time, they were doing things within their various jurisdictions. In other words, at the various local levels that were causing complaint, which gave rise to the initial condemnations of these secret societies from popes, from Pope Clement XII, on through to Pope Pius XII.
Well, unfortunately, we don't hear much about it
It takes a special study. You have to actually engage, go on to the Vatican website, download these encyclicals, and actually read them. They basically are very interesting in that they reveal to you the structure of the society that existed at the time, the temper of the time, and what was being done to these societies at the time. The popes were very accurate at the time. These were very accurate. They were writing to an audience at that time who basically, even princes were complaining about this sort of thing, and they basically investigated it and were very specific with regard to the kind of activities that these people were engaged with.
Well, unfortunately, Leno, today the media is controlled.
Yeah.
Our universities are controlled, the foundations are controlled, and even though everything you're saying is true and everything that Ralph is saying is true, it's very difficult to get this information out. On the other hand, we do our best with the tools that God gives us, and we have to rely upon Him.
Well,
that's all we can do.
One of the things that Edmund Burke talked about was a natural prejudice born within the culture that automatically protects against such things, and that a healthful prejudice has been destroyed, which is the reason you're never going to get through to anybody.
Well, our job is to do the best we can.
Right.
You just keep doing the best you can. Hey, thanks for us for calling.
Well, thank you for having me on the air. And may I add, you know, when I go to my rosary, I'll certainly pray for you.
Okay.
And I would also ask that those Catholics who are listening and remember what Our Lady said at Fatima with regard to what was going to happen to Europe, what was going to happen to the papacy, and so on, if her words were not heeded, that the spread of these things would just simply snowball into just an absolute bloody melee all over the world.
And
message wasn't heard, and the destruction of faith, of course, would be absolutely assured as people continue to disobey God. And I'm telling you that the only way out of this is to turn to God completely in prayer and sacrifice and penance.
God bless you. Thanks very much for calling. Well,
thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There is a conspiracy against all Christianity. There's an intense hatred of certainly of the Catholic faith, of the Protestant faith, and of the various branches of the Protestant faith today. So when you understand there's a conspiracy against God, so and against morality and against righteousness, then of course it's very easy to understand so much of what's going on today. Would you agree with that, Ralph?
Yes, sir. Well, to point out one more thing, I'd like to just mention this. John Kennedy was the first Catholic president of the United States, and back in 1314 or so, 1370, something like that, the Masons killed Jacques de Molay. They burned him at the stake. Jacques de Molay was the leader of the Knights Templar at that time. The Knights Templar later went on to create the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, which is the group that's actively involved in the United States. And so the Mason takes an act of vengeance against the Catholics and their murder of their leader. And so sure enough, when they had a chance to kill President Kennedy, they were right smack dab in the middle of it. And that was part of their retribution for the murder of Jacques de Molay back around 1300.
That's right, and people have forgotten that it was Jacques de Molay was arrested on Friday the 13th of October, 1307. It was some months later when he was burned at the stake, because, of course, he was a Satanist. But they can't admit that. And why was he a Satanist? Because he believed that Lucifer was the real God, and the God we worship is a second-rate God. Well, let's go to Mike, who's certainly has a comment and a question. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I hope you don't think I'm being disagreeable. A couple of small points. Babylon, ancient Babylon, is actually 33 miles south of the 33rd parallel.
All right, 33 miles south of the 33rd parallel. Well, all right, well...
It's not exactly on the 33rd. I just looked it up on the satellite.
Well, yeah, if I may, just very quickly, the 33rd starts at like 32.5 and goes to 33.5. So you can't just say it's a straight line. Even Charleston, South Carolina, Dallas, Nagasaki, et cetera, they're not direct underneath it because it's like rounding off the numbers, so they call it the 33rd.
All right.
Yeah, they're close.
Good point.
Okay. Plaza is about 16 miles south, and Nagasaki is about 18 miles south.
All right, fine. Well, that would fit in there, too, of Ralph's description. So we won't subtract anything at all because of that. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, that's about it. Great show, though. Thanks a lot.
All right, fine. Thanks so much. Okay.
Dr. Stan, while we're talking about Nagasaki, let's talk about that. That town was not a military target. I've never seen a picture of soldiers burned to death because of the radiation. I've never seen tanks all melted. I've seen battleships, never seen battleships or airplanes or submarines. It was a civilian target. It was a town but a high percentage of those people were Christians. And they were, that's why Harry Truman selected that town to start the nuclear age, I guess, by dropping atomic bombs on a nation that was trying to surrender, and Truman knew that. 4 months after Truman killed those Christians in Nagasaki, and then later on in Hiroshima, he was elevated to the 33rd degree. That's in the Masonic literature.
You're absolutely right, and it's a great, great tragedy, and I think that the average individual has no realization that, as Ralph said, the Japanese government had been trying for 6 months to surrender. If anybody would like the documentation, we have that from the Chicago Tribune, an article that was actually published on the... I think the 15th of August of that 1945, and actually we got this clipping from the Chicago Tribune. They gave us the permission to reproduce it. Well, let's see who we have on the line here. Somebody has asked a question. How high a degree did George Washington achieve in Masonry? Do you know that?
Yes. They did not have the 33rd degree until 1801. So he was a master mason, a third-degree mason, the highest degree attainable, up until 1801 when they decided to create the 33rd.
Well, now, wait a minute. The master, that was just the third degree of masonry, wasn't it?
That's correct, master mason.
All right, but then, of course, he went from 33 to 32nd, and then, of course, eventually the 33rd degree.
Yes, I believe that's when they created... 4 through 32, and then obviously the 33rd.
All right, well, let's go to Jack, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Jack. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Specifically, wondering at what degree could and should the initiate know that he has committed himself to Satan?
All right, well, what degree do you think the initiate should recognize the fact that there's something wrong in what he's into and that this is satanic? When should he pick this up? Because most Masons have no idea. I mean, they think that's so ridiculous. Why they would, most of them would certainly be offended if we were to tell them this was a satanic religion.
That's correct. Here's how you can know, and the answer to that question is at the 19th degree. Let's take it step by step.
Wow.
When the person joins the Masons, he goes through what they call the Blue Lodge, blue like the color blue. Blue Lodge. It consists of 3 degrees, 3 rituals that the man goes through that he has no preparation for. Now, you could argue, well, that, you know, the rituals are available, and they are, so he might very well have read it, but he's not urged to know anything at all about what he's going through. But there's some very important things that happen to him, and I'll make it very brief. In the first degree, I'm going to call him the vice president, the number two man in the lodge, brings the initiate, the new guy going through, to the president, and the president asks the vice president, what do you seek for this initiate? And he says, light, L-I-G-H-T, light. And then in the second degree, it's repeated, and he says, further light. And then in the third degree, it's more light. Now, at the end of the third degree, the Mason is told that the light represents the true knowledge of deity. And that's the end of it. Now, notice, you don't learn the true knowledge of deity in the Bible. You don't learn it in your church or your synagogue. You learn it in the Masonic Lodge. Now, I don't know, half of the Masons do not go beyond the third degree, so they don't know. They've been introduced to the subject, but they don't know. Then when you go on, when you get the book entitled Morals and Dogma, used to be given the book Morals and Dogma, in the 19th degree, you read this quote, Lucifer, the light bearer, is it he who bears the light? Doubt it not. Now, here's what you're supposed to do. You are supposed, as Pike says over and over and over again, you are to think and ponder and reflect on what you just learned. They can't say it directly. It's a secret. They've given you hints, and that's as far as they go. So what you are to do is make a connection between three separate statements. Number one, you ask for light, more light, and further light. Then you learn that light is the true knowledge of deity. And then in the third degree, in the 19th degree, you learn that Lucifer is the light bearer. And you are, on your own, supposed to connect those three things to show that Lucifer is the God of this universe, the true knowledge of deity. Now, as I said, and you know this as well, Duck Stan, and the Mason knows it, they can't say it directly. If they said it directly, 90% of the men would get out of there. They don't want to belong to a group that, presumably, belongs to a group that worships Lucifer, Satan, the devil. But that's the truth. One more thing. The Mason God, the Masonic God, inside the lodges and the rituals, is referred to as the great architect of the universe. Now, architects don't build anything. They don't create. Let's say it that way. They draw plans for the builder, who also does not create out of nothing. He takes wood, you know, makes a 2x4 out of it, or a panel or something, and he takes a stone and cuts it into bricks or blocks. He makes dirt and cuts it into bricks, etc. He takes wire and copper, etc. In other words, he takes existing materials to build. He doesn't create anything. And that's further evidence that the God of the Masonic Lodge is not the creator God. They call him an architect. Architects don't create out of nothing. They draw plans for those to create out of existing material.
That was great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And I think one other thing you might mention is the name of their God, which was Yah-Baal-Oh, which, of course, is a combination of Yahweh, Baal, and Osiris. And, of course, Baal is the devil.
That's correct.
How do you pronounce that?
Jabalon. That's the best I can do.
Jabalon. Okay, fine. So they basically, and then, of course, they always tell the Mason that when he, of course, dies, he's going to go to the great, stand before the great white throne of judgment. Well, the great white throne of judgment is not the place where Christians go. That is the judgment of the damned. So, but the Mason is never told these things. This is the thing. He's got to figure it out for his own. And when he figures it out, then, of course, many of them are so excited to realize that this is where the real power is. It is in the worship of Lucifer. That's what it's all about. And that's where the power is. But, of course, if you access that power, you do so at the risk of eternal damnation.
Well, I was going to say, my third book is entitled Masonry Conspiracy Against Christianity, and it clearly documents word for word page citations to show you that the Mason takes a sword in his hand at the 30th degree and takes a vow to destroy Christianity. And people like Bob Dole and Barry Goldwater and Jack Kemp and Harry Truman and Franklin Roosevelt and you name it, Henry Wallace as vice president, many of these men, in fact, all of those men that I just mentioned, were members of the Masonic Lodge, including Barry Goldwater, the former senator from Arizona, the man that ran for the presidency in 1964. So these men had all taken a vow to destroy Christianity, and we all think the Masons are good groups and good men, and when you're a Mason, we should respect them and admire them, and it just shows you how they've gotten away with this all these years.
Well, it's unfortunate, and there are a lot of good men have been trapped. Jack, you still there?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I'm enjoying this immensely, and I do intend to get that book. Are you going to handle that book?
Yeah, we have that, but we have all of Ralph's books. His The Unseen Hand, The New World Order, and A Masonry and the Plot Against Christianity.
Well, God bless you both. It's been very enlightening tonight.
Good night. Thanks very much for the call, Jack. Okay, fine. Well, I guess this evening has been Ralph Epperson. Ralph, why don't you go ahead and get your webpage out and how people can get in touch with you.
Well, you're right, Dr. Stan. You have been very gracious to carry my three books and sell them. And so if you want to buy the book, get it from Dr. Stan. He gets them from me, but that's fine. I appreciate the willingness of Dr. Stan to carry them. I have a website if you want to look at some of the other material I've got. It's Ralph, R-A-L-P-H, and then there's a dash, Ralph-Epperson with two P's, E as in Edward, P-P-E-R-S-O-N.com, Ralph-Epperson.com. Go there and browse and see what you think. I've got a new DVD out to mention on the website. You can get that as well if you wish to know more about what I've been talking about.
Well, Ralph's always got fascinating information. He was gracious enough to come on at the last minute, so I did not have to do the entire hour by myself. We always have a good time. Anyway, Ralph, thanks very much for coming on at short notice. And,
my pleasure.
And I think hopefully we got some people thinking out there. We got a fair number of calls, and I think that we probably could have gotten a lot more, you know, if we'd opened a little bit earlier. But anyway, God bless you. We'll talk to you later, and these are exciting times we live in, aren't they?
Yes, indeed. We're in big trouble.
I'll tell you what, if we didn't know the Lord, it would sure be discouraging.
Yes, I agree with that. Amen. That's the ultimate answer. Thank you, Dr. Stanley.
Bye-bye.